This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Welcome back to the Glow Show. I'm Will Anting, and I'm your Joy presenter once again for another episode. And I am joined by the lovely leading senior constable, Gabrielle Tyack. Gabby, how are you going?
Really well. I'm very excited about today's episode.
Excellent. Now, who have we got in today and what topic are we talking about?
Well, we've got our Assistant Commissioner, Luke Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some recent media about some things that have happened within Victoria Police with some of our members, particularly one person who I'll get Luke to talk about a bit later on. But we basically want to talk about how far the organisation has come in relation to dealing with LGBTI employees and how they're treated by other members.
Excellent. And we're also joined by Jen Dixon. How are you today?
Hi, Will. Very good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, no, it's been an interesting week as usual. So
always.
Now, Luke, welcome to the studio.
Yeah, g'day, Will, and g'day to your listeners. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, first of all, a little bit about yourself. How long have you been in the police force for?
Oh, how long have you got? I've been in policing for 29 years, 14 years with FedPol, and now just over 14 years with VicPol. So I'm more VicPol than FedPol now.
There you go. Now, your current role in the Victorian Police Force?
Yeah, look, Will, back in 2015, Victoria Police commissioned and had published through the Human Rights Commission an independent review into instances of sex discrimination, sexual harassment and predatory behaviour among Victoria Police employees. Now, that review made 20 recommendations, very big recommendations about the need for deep-seated cultural change in our organisation. And our Chief Commissioner, Graham Ashton, accepted all of those recommendations and happily appointed me to lead the Victoria Police response to making sure that ultimately we become a safe, inclusive and respectful workplace for all of our employees.
How much do you think it's changed over the last, say, two decades? Probably hard to say. You haven't really done the role.
Look, one of the things that I've had to do as I've been doing this piece of work, of course, has been to reflect on what did Luke Cornelius look like as a constable, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and what were the things that happened around him? What did he do and participate in back then? And what does that look like now? And I can say to you, looking you straight in the eye, it'll be very different. I and many of my colleagues have reflected on the behaviours and the attitudes that were pretty commonplace 30 years ago in our organisation, and in FedPol, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
And I guess across all communities.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. And that ought to give us pause for thought. And for me, particularly with kids, I look at the world they're growing up in and I want the world to be very different from what it was like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, look, and that's one of the focuses that, you know, in all organisations we have when we're dealing with the same issue. You know, we just want to do things better, and this is where all this sort of leads to over time. You're at our station, which is predominantly LGBTI. Clearly, discrimination and harassment in the workplace is also outside LGBTI, so it's not an issue that's standalone. There's obviously religious discrimination, and there can also be individual discrimination as well. I think one of the things that a lot of people fear, certainly within an LGBTI, is fear of promotion, and that's why they hide maybe their gender, or maybe then someone may hide their religion, or maybe someone may hide their culture. Do you find this to be a very real problem within the Victorian Police Force, where people are scared of promotion or scared of thought?
Well, look, we know back in 2015, 1,000 of our employees, and we're an organisation of about 18, 19,000 people, about 1,000 of our people responded to a National Diversity Inclusion Survey. And 70% of those respondents who identified as LGBTI members of the LGBTI community, 75% said they were out in their workplace and out to their boss. Now, that indicates to me that the vast majority of our LGBTI members have some confidence that their workplace supports them, and particularly their bosses support them. What it also tells me is there are 25% of those respondents who as yet are not out, and that could be for a whole range of reasons. I think we need to do everything that we can to make sure that it's not because of their workplace and not because of any fear or concern on their part as to how they'd be dealt with or treated if they were out.
Hmm. What's some of the challenges that you see today with the role that you're doing?
Look, I think the biggest challenge that I and my colleagues and indeed everyone faces in doing this work is that this isn't just about us. Mm-hmm. What we're seeking to address are attitudes and behaviours which happen right across the community. The key thing for us is that in changing ourselves, we recognise also that this is very much about us working with the community to change the community more broadly in terms of its thinking, recognising what harm looks like, recognising the impact, and recognising that the sorts of behaviours that lead to exclusion and vilification of people on any basis is extremely harmful and diminishes us as a community.
Mm. Gabby, you obviously work very close with Luke in a role as a GLO, and your GLO members do work very closely with Luke. Have you seen some changes over the last decade or so?
Yeah, I mean, one good example is when I went for the position that I'm in now. So the only full-time GLO within Victoria Police, so the only full-time LGBTI liaison officer, I was the only person that actually applied for this position, which, I mean, I saw your reaction.
Yeah,
you were quite surprised. And I think 2008 isn't that long ago, but it was very, very different within the organisation then. People were, I believe, afraid of doing this job because they didn't want people to think they were part of the LGBTI community. And luckily me, I went for the job. I was already doing a GLO portfolio role at the station I was working at. So I was very happy to step into it. And now things have changed so much that people are desperately wanting to do my role and finding out, well, why can't other people be employed full-time doing this role? So they'd be waiting for me to leave the position and hopefully getting a similar position themselves. And also, when I first started this, it was very hard to try to find members who wanted to put their hand up to do the GLO role. And now we're almost having to fight them off because there's so many want to do it. I think at that stage there were maybe in the entire organisation less than 40 GLOs around the state. And now we're up to maybe 230 or so.
250.
250 GLOs, yeah. And constantly adding new people to do the role. So that's just one or two of the changes I've seen.
Yeah.
And with that comes there's a lot of great visibility at the moment, particularly for the GLO role. And largely that's down to obviously the great work that Gab and the other GLOs do, but also the corporate sponsorship piece for us in the organisation. So having an LGBTI champion like Luke, we also have a number of other assistant commissioners and deputy commissioners, as well as the chief himself, who are, you know, always at LGBTI events and putting themselves out there to say, look, we support the community, and putting focus towards what we can do to improve that culture we've got. So I think that getting that visibility throughout the organisation really, it gets people thinking like, okay, this is something I want to be involved in. A lot of people have a very proactive nature about them when they join the police, and getting involved with community, being a GLO is a great way to do that. And it's fun. You know, you get to go to a lot of fun events, and people generally think the police are rock stars when they go. So it's a good reception.
Yeah, the other observation I'd make is that being engaged and being involved, it's not just about being a member of the LGBTI community.
Absolutely.
Being a GLO or indeed being an advocate for acceptance and inclusion and support and being an ally is something that is absolutely open not only to LGBTI members, it's also absolutely open to hetero members. And one of the points that I would make is that for far too long, I think our organisation has expected our LGBTI members to take the lead on this and to sort of be our point people. Bottom line is, this is actually something our organisation takes responsibility for, irrespective of whether you're an LGBTI member or hetero or whatever, if I can put it that way. Everyone needs to demonstrate their commitment and support for the diversity, not only within our organisation, but for the whole community.
Yeah, and you're right, that is a very good point, because when we last did a survey on GLOs, I think about 40-something percent of those who were doing the role identified as heterosexual and or not LGBTI. And so that shows a huge change, where in the beginning we couldn't get anyone to do it because they were afraid of being seen as part of that community. And now we've got so many champions and allies who don't identify who want to do the role. So that's a massive change and a good indication of how much the organisation has moved forward.
Luke, I've noticed the Victorian Police Force are having a very big recruitment campaign at the moment, and you're currently training a lot of people. Do you work with the new recruits and try and instill some good information down at the grassroots? Is that one of your focus points at the moment?
Look, as an organisation, we've put in a lot of thought and action around how do we support the diversity of people coming to our organisation. And we have a very active student network out at the Academy, which is very much about supporting and providing information to LGBTI members, particularly members of the LGBTI community who are starting out in their policing career. And I think of all of the networks we've got across the organisation, the student network's probably our most active. They're learning a great deal from us. We are learning a great deal from them. And we'll have an opportunity to celebrate that later this week when we launch the VicPol Pride Network, which is for all of our employees, and the student network is a key part of that.
What's some of the success stories that you've had at this stage?
Well, look, I think the key piece is that sense of support and appreciating that while we've certainly had our challenges in the past, VicPol does have a strong commitment to being an inclusive, safe and respectful organisation. And certainly our LGBTI members who have been connected through that network are finding the support that they need and are seeing that their service and their potential for service with us is certainly being valued.
One thing that comes to mind, Gabby and Jen and yourself, Luke, is when a police member has an issue of discrimination or needs some support, where can they go?
Online, we have a lot of services available for all kind of mental health issues. So if you're struggling with something or if you feel like maybe your needs aren't being met or you're being bullied or any kind of thing, we do have internal welfare services. So we do have a welfare department, a welfare unit with psychologists and police members working on it. We also have, since the VARIOC report came out, we've had other services implemented for mental health. And also members can go to the GLOWS or the Pride Network that is being launched internally. So there's so many different support services. And I see Luke's showing me a new one that's come in that I haven't heard of. So
yeah,
that's...
so when we set up our response to the Human Rights Commission review, we established two new services. One's a confidential helpline, which is called Safe Space. And the other is OneLink, which is a central reporting line for workplace harassment and bullying.
Which is very important information for people to be aware of.
And look, one of the challenges we face with those services, of course, is trust. People are very concerned about what happens if I report an issue. Am I going to be looked after or will I be the subject of vilification and further harassment as a result of making a report? That remains a real concern for us. We've certainly seen, since we've established those services and since we established a specialist task force that looks specifically at harassment in our workplace, Task Force SALIS, we've seen significant increases in reports and formal investigations. But we know from the review that we undertook in 2015 with the Human Rights Commission that of the 40% of our employees who have personally experienced harassment, only 11% of them made a formal complaint. So that tells us that underreporting remains a significant issue. So we've got a lot of work to build confidence and trust around that.
So 11% that screams a lot, but so
that was as at the survey,
but
you know, we've had in excess of 300 reports come through to Task Force SALIS, and they've led to active investigations in relation to conduct that's been reported since the review was published. So that tells me, as was the case with family violence actually, once confidence started to grow that police would respond to those issues appropriately and provide people with support, the rate of reporting has grown exponentially, and that's actually what we're now seeing. So I see that increase in reporting as a real positive because it suggests to us that we're actually closing the gap on that level of incidence and confidence in reporting.
That's excellent.
And that's one of the focuses we've always had in our GLOW roles, to encourage people to report. So it shows that everywhere people may be victims but aren't reporting, and it's the work we're doing to encourage that reporting. And I know that recently with the recruits at the Police Academy, people previously hesitated on looking at a career in Victoria Police because they thought it might be homophobic or they might not be accepted or they may be bullied, or a number of reasons. And the most recent survey we've done has shown that of the recruits that were there at the time, 10 to 15% of them identified as LGBTI, which is, I never expected that. So it shows that people are having more confidence in the police and are feeling like they can join and be part of this organisation.
Another thing that's really great to point out is we have an LGBTI portfolio reference group. So myself and Assistant Commissioner Steve Fontana, who we had on last year, we meet with them every quarter and we discuss some of the action items that we're looking at as an organisation, and we put it out to community to say, are we on the right track? And, you know, getting the right focus here. So we actually run a lot of initiatives and programs past community first, just to make sure that we we're hitting the right note. But one of the things that a portfolio reference group member said to me recently was, you know, Jen, I joined the reference group 10 years ago. And back when we started having these conversations with police, things weren't in a very good place. So when you say to me, where do we go now? How do we move forward? I genuinely don't know what the answer is, because I never even imagined us to get to this place.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of goodwill there. And it's hearing that that makes us go, okay, we're on the right path here. We've listened, we're implementing. And I guess it's a nice position to find ourselves in. There's a lot more work to be done, but I think that we're making the right steps in the right direction.
No, that's excellent. So, Luke, there was a recent newspaper article. I read something in The Age about your organisation and some of the work that you have been doing. Are you able to explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, look, The Age published an article that took a look at our treatment of Michael Maines when he was a member of Victoria Police. And it's certainly clear, and I acknowledged in that article and subsequently in the follow-up media, that Victoria Police had certainly not treated Michael as we would expect. Certainly clear that he was subject to homophobic behaviour in a couple of workplaces that he worked in. Likewise, we also know that he was treated very well in a number of workplaces. But the key thing for me around that is that the behaviours Michael encountered were completely unacceptable. And I'd say now, as I did back in January, we're very sorry that that occurred to Michael. And it just redoubles my resolve for us to address with our workforce more generally our expectations around how people who might be regarded by some as being different, how we expect people to be treated, irrespective of their sexual orientation or any other defining characteristic or attribute. So the key thing with that incident is that as an organisation, we need to take those events, those occurrences very seriously. We undertook a formal investigation in relation to how Michael was treated, and that actually came by way of a report from some of Michael's former colleagues who expressed concern about his treatment, and that led to a formal investigation. And a number of members, 11 members in total, were investigated. A number of them resigned. Three resigned during the course of the investigation, one of them before he was formally dealt with in relation to a breach of discipline. Another member was admonished. Number of members were, as we say, exonerated, but the key piece was that there are a number of members who were in our organisation who are no longer in our organisation, and that's attributable to us holding them to account for their behaviour.
And do you think the exposure to media maybe allowed people to talk, maybe allowed people to change their mind and allow people to have confidence to put their hand up to say, look, there is a problem here or there is a problem there?
Look, I've certainly had the opportunity to talk to a number of LGBTI members at different levels in our organisation since that media attention. And the key thing that I would note out of those conversations is that Michael Maines is not the only instance of where we've dealt with an employee poorly. And there are certainly many members, LGBTI members within our organisation who've had a history of abuse and mistreatment. And I'd say to those members, if they're listening now, we're absolutely ready to listen and hear your stories and address as best we can any harm or adverse impact you've experienced as a result of that treatment. And so I'm speaking both to history, but I'm also speaking to current behaviour, because as an organisation, a key part of leading change in this space is to recognise past wrongs and to do what we can to address those wrongs and recommit to being very different in the future.
Luke, you're doing great work, and bullying in workplace has a lot of parallels on many organisations and companies, and it sounds like and it looks like you're really taking leadership roles in the community within the Victorian Police Force. You should be proud of that work. It's seemingly very good, and it seems like a funny analogy, but let's hope you change the attitude and change the world and do yourself out of a job in the coming decade or so and get things all sorted. But no, it's fantastic, and it's been a real pleasure having you join us today on The Glow Show.
Yeah, thanks, Will, and thanks to your listeners. All the best.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Gabby and Jen.
Thanks,
once
Will.
Again for joining us. And
thank you.
We can obviously download the Glow Shows at joy.org.au.
And don't forget to rate them.
Oh, yes, got to rate them.
And also subscribe and share.
And share. And share this among all your workmates. It's very important within the Victorian Police Force that these episodes are shared, because you get some great information about your organisation.
And so think of joining Victoria Police and making that your career.
Well, maybe I should. Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure. You've been listening to The Glow Show.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.